Sound of Hockey episode 244. We're calling this one the Jared Tenorti episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Well, I was looking up some draft data as it's draft week. And he was drafted 22nd overall in the 2010 NHL entry draft.
Okay.
He would play his first NHL game during the 2012-13 season for Montreal.
I think I was at that game. I think it was in New Jersey against the New Jersey Devils, if I'm not mistaken.
It is when you were living in New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
Potentially. Anyway, carry on.
But he would not play more than 25 games in any one season until the 2019-2020 season.
Mm-hmm.
That's 10 years after his draft year.
Uh-huh.
So he was this huge outlier of playing his essentially rookie season 10 years after being drafted as a first rounder. And once I saw where he's from, I felt I had to name the episode after him.
Which is Burnsville, Minnesota?
Little place called Burnsville, yeah. Minnesota.
That's what I figured. Well, he, yeah, his dad was on the North Stars when I was a kid. So, and actually, when I was like a mini mite, I played one intermission game as like a five-year-old between periods for the North Stars. And like the, whatever you call them. Like
I got
the little, tykes or whatever. Yeah. And that was the season that they left, so.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Well, fun fact.
Anyway, if and those that don't know, Darren, where are you from?
Minnesota.
Where specifically?
Oh, well, technically I grew up in Savage, but I went to Burnsville High School.
Okay,
so
all right.
That's the connection there. If folks were wondering. That's a good clarifier there. That is good. Hey, this is Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown at Darren Fun Brown on the Twitter, joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL2 Seattle on the Twitter.
And don't forget to follow us at @sound_hockey on the Twitter. There's going to be a lot of cracking news and, well, just news in general coming up here in the next week. So get on the old Twitter. Get your follow button hit on @sound_hockey. And we might even do a Kraken takeaways on YouTube at some point, too. We haven't done that since the playoffs ended, but there might be a little something for our YouTube viewers. So get onto the Sound of Hockey YouTube. Yeah. A review to share with you. Actually, two. We have 2 5-star reviews to share with you from Apple Podcasts. The first one comes from Katie Kraken Fan. It's a 5-star review. It says, missing hockey already. As a Kraken season ticket holder, I've loved diving deeper into the world of pro hockey and specifically the Kraken with this awesome podcast. A well-rounded podcast that gives me all the Kraken insights I'm craving, fun segments, and teach me lots about the details of professional and junior hockey. I must also add, as an Ann Arbor native and U of M grad, there is no such thing as talking too much about Michigan hockey. If you've never seen a game at Yost Arena, it is a must to add to your list.
It's on my bucket list.
Yeah. Speaking of, I would love to go to a game there. I really would. I've never been to a game there. Speaking of, we are wanting to catch a Kraken away game this coming season. What would be your top 3 picks for where to watch an away Kraken game this coming season?
Yeah, you want them?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm top of mind. Definitely Nashville, number one. Direct flights.
You do love Nashville.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, I've never been to a game there, but you do seem to love it.
I don't put Vegas at the top, but it's pretty easy, pretty convenient, and it's a good scene.
It's a cool experience. Yeah, it's very unique.
It's good. Yeah. It's good. Mm-hmm. And then I try to think of like a more traditional place. Like I've never been to Detroit, so that's kind of on my list for this year.
I hear the arena is incredible.
But even, I think, I mean, even if you can do like a, you know, a 24-hour trip, depending if you want to spend a lot of time there, but if you want to do kind of a 24-hour trip, like you could do like a Winnipeg or Edmonton. And I think Minnesota's a great spot.
Did you just list Winnipeg as one of the...
That's what I clarified. It's a 24-hour trip, right? Meaning like you're not there to check out the town.
Okay.
It's a very intimate setting. It's right downtown. There's usually a hotel like right across the street that's like relatively reasonable. But yes, I did say Winnipeg.
Okay. Not direct flights to Winnipeg, I don't think. So.
Well, and of course, if you want to do a weekend of it, you know, go to New York.
Right? Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, too. Not because, like, the Devils or the Islanders arenas are all that memorable. They're pretty regular as far as arenas go. But usually they play all three of the metro area teams in, like, a five-day span. So you could easily go see 3 different games on one trip, which is pretty cool. And I will say, I do think that Madison Square Garden is a very special experience if you've never been to a game there.
Well, Philadelphia is a little underrated too, by the way, if you're looking for a cool town.
Which I've also never been there, but
maybe next year.
Yeah, Philadelphia is a cool town. I agree with you. Bad things happen there, as Gritty would
Gritty would say.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Gritty that said that actually, but New Obsession says M. Juliet R. The family found hockey this season, and boy, did we fall head over heels. I found this podcast after news of Andy was shared on TV. I listened back and he won my heart. I love this podcast because as a newbie, it's so easy to understand and so informative and hilarious. My drive to work is exciting when a new episode is out. The Roy family from Mill City, Oregon sends all our love to you all and to the boys, and shout out to the ladies of the Kraken. So,
yeah, cool.
Yeah, very cool. Thank you for that. Okay, let's get into our show. Leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't before. We will read it on next week's show. We're going to have to buzz through this one pretty quick because we have a lot to cover, and I put us under the gun here. John and I are going to play hockey tonight. It's Monday night. I had a complete disaster getting over here tonight. We were watching the awards. I was going to come over to watch the awards with you, and everything was just happening too quickly. They were starting. I was finishing up my day. I didn't have my stuff packed. So then I'm like, all right, time to go. I found out who the Jack Adams Award winner is. It's not Dave Hackstall. Let's go over to John's. So the thing that's tough is when we're doing podcast and then hockey, I have a lot of crap to bring with me. Okay. So I had to pack up. I always bring like a bag of like shower stuff. I bring a backpack that has my computer, my SD card, headphones, computer charger. I don't know what else I have to remember to bring. I need to remember my water bottle, change of clothes, and then I go out and pack up my hockey bag. So I get in the car. Actually, before I get in the car, I'm packing up my bag. I knock a full coffee cup off of the ledge. It spills all over the garage floor. So I had to go back into the house, get a rag, come out, clean up the coffee, finally pack up my stuff, drive 10 minutes away from home. And I'm like, I don't have my hockey sticks in the car. And thankfully, I at least remembered at that point, because
versus now,
right,
that would be a problem,
much worse. Yeah. So then I drive back, get my hockey sticks. I'm like all frazzled and a little frustrated. Thankfully, I'm paying attention to the road, though. I don't know if you remember the PSA commercial we had in Minnesota growing up, where there was like a ball that would roll out into the street, and it was like reminding you that if you see a ball roll into the street, slow down.
Could be a kid falling.
So yeah. A ball rolls into the street. And it was like straight out of that PSA commercial. Like I did actually slow down. And sure enough, this kid comes like sprinting to the curb, realizes that he's about to run into the street and stops. Whew. But it was definitely like one of those moments where like, all right, A, I'm glad I'm paying attention. And B, that was so. Yeah. Anyway, it was a weird evening getting here.
How are you doing right now?
I'm good. I'm good now.
You seem fine.
But we have about.
But I can imagine you're a little like on edge, little flustered. So.
It's just been a weird day. It's been a very Monday type of Monday, if that makes sense. Like I woke up very much on the wrong side of the bed today and I never fixed it. So just never
fixed
it.
We're in for a long one, folks.
It's going to be an interesting skate tonight. I'll tell you that much. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, we're here. Let's start with, normally we start with Kraken news, but we're going to take a trip down in the farm. Moo! To start things off, the Coachella Valley Firebirds, I'm very sorry to say, came up one game, one goal, one shot short of the Calder Cup in their first season. What a magical run that was. And John, we were messaging back and forth that it was a little weird to me that I felt this profound, not quite to the degree of like when one of my favorite NHL teams loses in the playoffs, but I felt a profound disappointment when they lost that game. And this is an AHL minor league game. Why did I feel like that, do you think?
Well, I mean, I was right there with you. You know, I've never followed the AHL.
Right.
Like I've, you know, that
Charlotte Checkers.
Yeah. But even then, like we didn't, because it was like a little bit of a hybrid team. So we didn't really have like every player. We didn't know. I think, you know, Joey Decord being kind of patient zero as far as our hearts, right?
So patient zero, that brings back COVID thoughts, okay, but
so
I know what you mean.
He was
a central
figure. He's the one I was rooting for the most, right? And then of course Ty Cartier,
Cole Lind,
Riker Evans. Yeah. Like we know so much about those guys and we've talked to a bunch of them too. Yeah. So I think that's the reason, but it was kind of funny how nervous I was in that game 7. So yeah.
And man, think if Paderewski had scored that goal where he put the puck between his legs in overtime. How sick would that have been, huh? Very disappointing, but man, what a cool thing. And it truly seems like they've turned that town into a hockey town, which is so cool.
For sure.
Man, it was a rocking environment. And I never got down there this summer, or this season, but I sure would like to.
Should put it on the list for next year.
It looks pretty great. Yeah. Maybe that's our recommendation for watching a Kraken game on the road is actually just go to a Firebirds game, not a Kraken game. But
that's not my recommendation.
Okay, no, don't do that. Go to a Kraken game on the road. Kraken news. So that's our down on the farm. Congrats, though, to everybody involved there.
Yeah, great performance, great season.
And how, I mean, it's incredible, right? Yeah. The fact that, and we talked about this with Joey, that it was like, it almost felt like spare parts that they just threw that team together during about this time last year, right around free agency, right? All of these guys that they signed to one-year deals that you're like, I'm not really, don't know too much about this guy. You're don't like, know too much guy, about that who's guy. This guy.
But that's HL, right?
Whatever. Yeah. Don't know what that is. And meanwhile, we were waiting for them to like make a bunch of big signings for the Kraken. Yeah, and you're right. Like, oh, okay, they signed Brogan Rafferty. You know, I'm like,
well,
I don't
we thought
know.
John Hayden was like part of the plan, yeah. Right? And
yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, bummer that they came up one goal short, but congratulations on a magical run. Okay, Kraken news. So would you argue that this is the biggest news? What happened tonight, John?
Yeah.
Of the week?
That's fair. Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to share it? Do you want to break it?
Yeah.
Breaking news, folks.
Matty Beniers wins the Calder Trophy. That's wow. The rookie of the year in the NHL.
So the Kraken organization did manage to win one Calder this week, but not
that's,
two.
That's right. We talked about that. Or a listener suggested that. Yeah.
So he, I mean, well-deserved, right? I think there was no surprise. That was kind of one of those no-doubter awards. He had 160 first-place votes. The next best was Stuart Skinner, the goalie from Edmonton, who had 24 first-place votes. So long way off. Kind of cool that he was nominated next to his former teammate at Michigan and Owen Power.
Yeah.
But I think no surprise that he
it was no surprise, but you always worry about, I don't think there's a lot of voting members in Seattle right now.
Right.
And you know, a place like Edmonton probably has a ton. We kind of like build this narrative that there's a Canadian bias, and that might be true to some extent, but the reality is like these writers and journalists are professionals and they voted the right way. So yeah. Nice to see.
Yes. Well-deserved. Again, you know, he burst onto the scene. He had those 10 games last season, immediately fit in, spent the whole season on the top line, centering the top line, not just playing wing on the top line, but centering the top line. And I mean, where would the Kraken have been without him this season? He was no such doubt. A key part. So very cool. Dave Haxtell came up short in the Jack Adams Award voting. And by came up short, I mean, he was nominated, but it wasn't close. Jim Montgomery got almost unanimous win. Haxtell and Lindy Ruff each had one vote for first place. So Montgomery won by a lot. I think well-deserved for Montgomery. His team in Boston had a historic season, and he had an interesting story himself. You know, he talked about it in his speech tonight at the awards that he had had his contract terminated with Dallas because of issues with alcohol abuse. And so he turned himself around. I don't want to say he turned that team around because they were still like decent before under Bruce Cassidy. But man, what a performance they had this season.
I'm happy for Jim Montgomery, and he's deserving. I honestly thought Lindy Ruff probably did a better job at turning around the Devils. Okay. He had the biggest improvement, or the Devils had the biggest improvement year over year. So I was almost expecting it to be pretty close with Montgomery. But it seemed like with the season Boston had, he was going to get it.
Sometimes the awards, I think, are people just make the decision for you, like up front. It's like, oh, it's got to be so and so, right?
And all
I think,
of a sudden, that's where the masses are going. Yeah, and
like I don't know how that happens, but I mean, it's not like he didn't deserve it, right? And I think that kind of happened with Beniers a little bit too, where people had decided halfway through the season Beniers was the Calder Trophy winner, and then it was like he couldn't lose, you know. So So I guess it works in your favor if you're the one that gets people to say that about you. Other piece of Kraken news: the preseason schedule is out, so we are only June, July. We are 3 months away from the preseason. We're exactly 3 months away. How does that feel?
Feels so far away, man.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
I think it feels like it's going to go by very, very quickly.
I'm just
kidding.
I mean, we do have training camp coming up.
There's coming up, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But so they're going to start the preseason with a split squad game against Calgary, which is interesting, on September 25th. So part of the team is going to be here in Seattle. Part of the team is going to be in Calgary. I'm sure that will be easy for people like us to cover.
Yeah. Are you
going
to be able to cover that?
Yeah.
Because I'm playing hockey that night.
Oh, okay.
I think. Yeah.
September 25th, 3 months from now, you're playing hockey?
Mondays.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, maybe we can. I just don't know who we're going to send to Calgary to cover that. It's going to be true. Tough.
See what Wade's up to.
Yeah. Maybe he's available.
Yeah.
And the last piece of sort of Kraken news, and by the way, we're hustling pretty fast because, like I mentioned, we're under the gun here tonight. We have a hockey game to get to. So Jesper Froden, we hardly knew ye. He has signed with Switzerland club ZSC Lions, which ZSC, by the way, stands for Zürcher Schlittschuh Club, in case you're wondering.
I was. Thank you for that.
Yeah. So that's in Zurich.
Definitely.
Yeah. Zürcher.
Froden never scored for the Kraken, did he?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
He might have had, did he have one assist?
Maybe one assist.
Maybe. Yeah. So. That was an odd one. His call-up, I thought, was an odd one. And then they kept him around for quite a while. And I remember thinking it was...
You know, he had a pretty good year in Coachella.
He had a great year in Coachella.
But like, I don't know why you select him over... I'd have to
over
look
a Colin or... Yeah. I don't know. I thought that one was a little odd. But he got in several games and
he was
played fine.
Yeah, he was fine. Yeah, he was fine. Yeah.
But... He is no more.
He is.
He's off to the Zürcher Schlittschuh Club, the Lions.
Yeah.
Going to be a big week. Yeah. I think we mentioned that. So let's talk about what's happening this week. Today, as I mentioned, is Monday. You're probably going to hear this on Tuesday-ish. The NHL draft begins on Wednesday night with round one. And remember, round one goes very slowly. They give each team way too much time to decide who their pick is, even though they clearly all know in 10 seconds who their pick is going to be. And so they just drag that out and they make it a long night.
Well, that's when they bring the player on stage and, mm-hmm. you know, take some photos, talk about him, lots of highlight reels, those kind of things. But one thing to look for is trades leading up. We've already seen a healthy amount of trades already.
That's right.
But that's usually the kind of where it happens or leading right before it or around the draft. It can happen during the draft. There are trades, obviously, in the first round often as teams want to move up. So the word around the campfire is it's going to be a little bit more exciting, not necessarily from the Kraken perspective, but because the free agent market is
thinner.
Yes.
This year.
Yeah. So I like the first round because it's an easy way to get into it. And I'm not playing hockey on Wednesday night, so it should work out well.
And it's a little less hectic, too. The Kraken do have quite a lot of picks again this year.
Yeah.
Day two is going to be cray-cray for people like us because they don't stop. It's like every time you look up, they're on the clock again. You're like, oh,
especially
God.
The second round. I think they have three second-rounders again.
Yes.
And as a reminder, Kraken's first pick is the 20th, which is going to be unique for us because usually we're in the first 30 minutes. Yeah, we expect the team
in the world. We're going to be sitting there all night.
Yeah.
Gonna lose interest by that point. So yeah, rounds 2 through 7 then are on Thursday and local time. I think they start at like 8 a.m.
8 a.m.
Right?
Yeah,
it's an early one. So other things to keep an eye on this week. So that's on Wednesday, Thursday. Qualifying offers must be made by June 30th. What day of the week is that? Is that
Friday? Yeah.
So it's one day after another. And the RFAs to keep an eye on are Morgan Geeky, Daniel Sprong, Will Borgen, Vince Dunn, who we expect him back, Cale Fleury, and Cole Lind. There's some interesting ones in there. I think we made the prediction that Sprong probably won't get extended a qualifying offer just because he's probably priced himself out by scoring over 20 goals this season. We think Geeky's going to get qualified. We think Borgen is definitely going to get qualified. He played every game and was, I think, well-liked as a right-shot defenseman. Cale Fleury, I don't see why you wouldn't qualify him. He didn't play much, but I don't think he's going to like command anything scary in arbitration or anything like that. And then Cole Lind, same thing, right? He's only played in the AHL, but I don't know why you wouldn't qualify him to keep him around. But we'll see. You never know. The buyout deadline is also June 30th, so keep an eye on some players that have been rumored to be bought out. The Blake Wheelers of the world, which I think is quite intriguing.
Yeah, he's interesting. I like Blake Wheeler a lot. I know he's dropped off a little bit from the peak of his powers, but...
he's getting a little older, too.
Yeah, and so you always worry about overpaying for somebody like that in free agency. Should he make it to free agency? But I do like him.
Yeah. Nice piece. So, I played against him.
Oh, yeah?
He's torched me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He's got a relative in town, by the way.
Tom Wheeler?
No.
Okay.
Or I don't know.
Kyler Yamamoto, another one to look out for. We've heard some whispers that Chris Drieger could be a potential for that, but...
Yeah, the more I think about it, the less likely I see that. And we'll talk about... pending UFAs in a bit, but they could still sign our favorite third string goaltender of the Seattle Kraken history, Joey Decord.
Joseph Thomas, I don't know, Decord. I actually don't know if that's his middle name. It's probably not. So then let's talk about the UFAs because we're there anyway. Carson Soucy is a UFA. Ryan Donato is a UFA. I don't think they're going to be back.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I'd be borderline shocked. Susie, maybe, right? I think, but I don't expect either of them back.
I think they need some forward roster spots, and I think it makes a lot of sense for Donato to go. That's not to say that I haven't liked watching and covering Ryan Donato. He's been exactly what I thought he would be, and actually exceeded my expectations, I think. I think he's been a really solid soldier for the Kraken. So I will be sorry to see him go, but I think from a team standpoint, they got to get better somehow, and that means opening up some roster spots. So, yeah, and same with Carson Soucy. I mean, I'll be sorry to see him go, too. I think he's been a solid soldier for them, but I don't expect them back. We'll see. We've been wrong about these things before, so you never know. Others to keep an eye on: John Hayden, Martin Jones, Alex True, Gustav Olofsson, and as you mentioned, Joey DeCord. So,
you know, I think there's a decent chance. Well, I shouldn't say decent. There's probably a 50-50 chance DeCord signs with Seattle.
Yeah. Seattle. And you think that's good numbers? That's better than you expected?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought there was no chance, but the more I think about it, it's not that they buy Chris Drieger out. Mm-hmm. Is if DeCord earns that backup spot, they can throw Drieger to the AHL. Mm-hmm. And save a little bit on the cap hit, and you only have to kind of pay like maybe $1 million of Drieger salary in the Kraken cap.
Right.
So I think it's possible. And then if he gets claimed, he gets claimed, right? No harm, no foul in that regard. So
interesting. Yeah, interesting theory. We'll see what happens there. It was certainly interesting to see DeCord playing number one spot there in the AHL with Drieger down there, just kind of hanging out. So fascinating. Other NHL news. That's our Kraken news. Anything else you would add in this lightning round of an episode that we're doing here?
No, just, you know, anticipate some trades. And by the way, this leads directly into free agency on July 1st. So, right. So that's not...
That's the thing that I was forgetting, that there's free agency on July 1st. So.
Yeah, so, but it's hard to say what we expect out of the Kraken this year because they didn't do much during the trade deadline. They didn't do much last year's free agent period, but...
But they got some big... I mean, that was around the time when Oliver Bjorkstrand came in.
That was a week or two later, right?
They brought in Burakovsky last year, Martin Jones. Right. So it's not like they didn't do anything, and they signed an entire AHL team last year, so...
But they don't have much... roster slots this year, last year they dumped a bunch of players at the trade deadline. So yeah, and keep in mind, you know, Kraken have the advantage of the cap space, so they might not be a major part of any of these deals, but they could help launder some money or
you love a good money good laundering
scheme. Yeah. So I think the Kraken could make a trade more likely than a big free agent signing. Yeah. So
good. All right, now we're going to go around the NHL. There's been quite a bit of news here over the last week as other teams are also trying to position themselves for these big upcoming events. And we are going to talk at some points, maybe in weekly one-timers, about the other awards. So we'll get back to that. But there have been some transactions. Ryan Johansson got traded from Nashville to Colorado, and Nashville is retaining 50% of his salary. And all they were sending back, or I guess getting back, was the rights to Alex Galchenyuk, who...
is a pending UFA.
Right, which was interesting. So
That's a salary dump.
Yeah. A salary dump for Nashville, right? So Colorado, I mean, isn't Ryan Johansson still a pretty good player, though? Like, I know he didn't have a great season.
I mean, that's the big thing. He had a really good season two years ago, and then the year before, he was exposed in the expansion draft.
That's true, so, yeah. And he's on a big number.
Yeah, he's only got two more years, and I think it's a good fit for Colorado, right? Like, then he can just kind of, probably doesn't have to be, carry the mail, if you will. Like, he can just be a contributor in Colorado, but I don't know. I wouldn't theoretically want him on the, but remember, they're only paying $4 million, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Sean Durzi is going across the Mersey to Arizona. That was a good one. Taylor Hall got traded to the Blackhawks, which was, not sure I quite understand that, but I did see a take that they need to add like some veterans to play with Connor Bedard. So maybe that's what they're thinking a little bit to like help him along, maybe? Question mark?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I think it's another... Yeah, they're just trying to compete a little bit, probably, and make subtle improvements.
Yeah, so it's Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno from Boston to Chicago for the rights to Ian Mitchell, who is an RFA, and Alex Regula, who I don't know anything about Alex Regula. but
pretty depth defenseman. Okay. So not
Ian Mitchell, I think, has some upside. I think he's
he's 24 years old, right? And has played one season in the NHL, but he's depth right now.
All right. Meanwhile, there's a couple of bubbling trades that have been talked about quite a bit. Kevin Hayes allegedly is moving to St. Louis, but nothing is official there. Pierre-Luc Dubois could be going to Los Angeles, but also nothing official there. But lots of scuttlebutt on the Twitter machine this past weekend.
Yeah, Torrey Krug seems to be holding up the Kevin Hayes trade. Mm-hmm. He's not waving his no move clause to go to Philadelphia. And good on him. That's his right.
You know why? He saw that press release. He's like, I don't want to work that hard. They went to that darker color of orange. And he's like, I don't know, man.
Not for me.
By the way, did you see they released all new uniforms? And they are exactly the same. They look so similar.
Instead of a white stripe, there's a black.
Oh, duh.
Yeah.
Duh. How did I not notice that?
I mean, it's not that big of a deal, but I don't know if you're joking, but
I am joking. Yeah. Okay. They look very, very similar.
Yeah, but they're not.
Sure. I don't even understand why they would,
maybe sell more.
The slightly darker shade of orange, right? Yeah, I guess if you put out new-ish uniforms, you probably get another pop of people.
Well, I'm sure there's pressure not to have last year's jersey.
I guess.
I know it's stupid, but.
But also, isn't the NHL switching from Adidas to Fanatics next season?
Next season. Don't tell the fans that, though.
So maybe they were let's get this done while we have the Adidas people to work on
the high quality.
Fanatics was going to put out an upside down logo or something. Neither here nor there. Other signings, some extensions. Connor Ingram re-ups with Arizona for 3 years, $1.95 million. Jordan Staal, 4 years with Carolina, $2.9 million. I guess he likes playing there. Eric Haula, 3 years, $3.15 million with New Jersey. Good for Eric Haula, man. He's a guy that has just been bopping around in no man's land, right?
But he gets paid.
He does. $3 million a year. So good for him. We have a quick WHL update also. John, what's the WHL update?
The WHL update is the preseason schedule is announced. Okay. And the tournament, the Everett tournament begins September 8th. That's a Friday. Mm-hmm. And normal suspects, somehow Wenatchee has one game in the quote-unquote tournament, so I don't know if it's much of a tournament for them, but they're playing on Sunday in Everett, so that's
kind of
cool.
I don't think it is a tournament, right? Isn't it just a showcase, that's like a preseason showcase?
Usually you play all the teams, but Wenatchee's coming over for one game, so that's kind of interesting.
I mean, they might have just gotten thrown in last minute because, nobody expected them to be in the league. So.
Yeah, and somehow I don't know how they squeezed them in, but but that's kind of cool. And then the full schedule is coming out Tuesday for the WHL. So by the time you hear this, the schedule will be out. That's fun because the game's just kind of another kind of date on the calendar to kind of get ready for. Mm-hmm. So
good stuff. We now move on to our segments. And our first segment is, just kidding, it's not Goalie Gear Corner. It's weekly one-timers.
It would be weird to have Goalie Gear Corner this time of year.
It's fair.
It's got to be the worst time or the dead time of year.
If you follow the right people on social media,
I'm sure
can
there's
come up
something
with
out there. But
new gear anytime.
People are working through concepts right
now. Shout out to our guy McVeigh, who's got a pretty cool pink cat mask that I think he got it done with a wrap. So pretty sharp.
All right. Cool.
Shout out to McVeigh.
Oh, man. He's going to be fired up.
Yeah. He and I talked the other day. I'd never actually spoken to him before.
Oh, really?
So. Yeah.
Oh,
wow. At the charity skate.
I got you.
Did.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Here you
go. First weekly one-timer. No more pregame hockey jerseys. I'm not saying that right, but no more specialty jerseys for the Hockey Is For Everyone nights.
This includes cancer.
Yep.
Military.
Yep.
Indigenous Peoples Day. Yep. Stuff.
We're pro-cancer, anti-military, anti-pride. No, I'm just kidding. But it is...
This is pretty disappointing.
It was a big conversation this week, and it's another one of those things that is frustrating to hear about, I think. And it does feel... And I think I get why the NHL made this decision. I think I do. But it also, to those that are supportive of these kinds of initiatives, it feels very much like the NHL is saying, okay, we are hearing the people complaining about Pride, for example, which I think was the most contentious piece, and we're going to...
I'm not sure that could be what it is, but that is a little speculative. What they're saying is...
It is a little speculative.
It became a distraction.
Yes.
And... whether you believe that or not, that's for you to decide. But the reality is, who didn't wear the jerseys in Florida for Pride Night?
The Stalls.
Yeah. What else did Florida do that night? We don't know. because we were so focused on the Stalls.
I was like, ooh, I think I should probably know this, but
no.
Matthew Tkachuk had some good words to say that night.
Yeah. Speaking of words, Steve Stamkos was interviewed and talked about it, and he wished it was up to the players to decide because he said 98-99% of the people, the players enjoy wearing it and like to wear the jerseys. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty unfortunate event that happened that they're stopping to do this because the only night that had the issues was the Pride night.
Right.
Right. But right now the league is saying that it's because it became distractions. We started talking about Provorov, not all the causes or or James Reimer, right? Mm-hmm. It was not about what San Jose does. Now he did say that this is the commissioner said all 32 teams did a Pride night and Pride nights will continue. So that's not like they're going away. It's just the pregame jerseys are not being worn for warmups. Mm-hmm. So, but again, it's across all those, what they refer to as the Hockey is for Everyone nights. And that includes cancer and military night.
It was nice to see, as that announcement got made, and mind you, it's middle of Pride Month right now, but lots of teams putting out different ways of showing, right? Including the Kraken, right? They had a big group that went and marched in the Pride Parade here in Seattle this weekend.
A lot of teams did that too, right? We expect it from the Kraken. Right. We know what kind of organization it is, but like Toronto, Philadelphia, a bunch of organizations continue to support these marginalized communities. And that's important to remember and not always focus on kind of the people that aren't wearing these jerseys.
100%. Nonetheless.
Okay. I'm a little disappointed too.
Yeah.
But I also realize we tend to focus on who's not wearing the jersey instead of what.
No, 100%. And that's exactly why it's not about, I don't actually think it's about like caving to pressure. I think it's about, to your point, we were talking about the wrong things.
Yeah. And that's partly, I mean, I'm saying the media's fault, but also we are theoretically part of the media.
Oh, yeah. We talked about like, oh, look at this guy. He's totally. Not.
And so that's maybe we can be better. I mean, I'm not, we can. We can do a better job at highlighting these things, but guess what gets clicks, right? And that's the unfortunate piece.
Yeah. Okay, the awards, our next weekly one-timer, the awards. didn't do that right. So here's who won. The Ted Lindsay Award, Connor McDavid.
Surprise.
The Lady Bing Award, Andrei Kopitar.
Matty got some votes. Matty got sixth overall.
I think you should give a one-word response to each of these, okay? So you said surprise for Connor McDavid, Andrei Kopitar, I would have prized her. Rigged. Okay. Mark Messier. Mark Messier Award, Steven Stamkos.
Love it. Stammer. Love Stammer.
That's six words. The Calder, Maddie.
Epic.
Okay. The Selke Award, Patrice Bergeron.
Expected.
I would go with like over it. Bill Masterton Award goes to Chris Letang.
Warrior.
Okay. The Vezina Award goes to Linus Ullmark.
Surprised.
Really?
Hellebuck.
Oh.
I thought Hellebuck.
I think this was another one of those where the winds were blowing in the favor of Linus Ullmark, and I think people had decided Hellebuck months ago. Okay. The King Clancy Award to Michael Backlund.
Love. I love this award.
The award.
I love this award. Yeah.
Jack Adams goes to Jim Montgomery.
Good for him.
Okay.
That's trying to think of one
again,
word.
Three words. That's okay. The Norris Trophy goes to Erik Karlsson.
Not in San Jose anymore.
Okay.
Prediction.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I still have a little bit of a hard time. I know he had a great offensive season. I know that. But he's a total defensive liability.
So interesting.
And his team stunk.
Sheng Peng from San Jose Hockey Now kind of inquired about if Karlsson would be a fit with the Kraken.
Oh.
And I think theoretically he would be. Mm-hmm. They have salary space. Mm-hmm. Cap space. Would be pretty good on power play. Mm-hmm. Maybe something that the Kraken need to improve on.
Okay.
That said.
What about the defense part? Do you worry about that?
I don't think he's a good fit in Seattle. I'm more locker room from it because they don't have these high-end superstars. Mm-hmm. And from what I've heard, that Karlsson could be a bit much in the locker room. Mm-hmm. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Our next. Oh, and the Hart went to Connor McDavid.
Oh, surprise.
Who cares? Lame.
Yeah.
The Hockey Hall of Fame. Oh, yeah. Our next weekly one-timer. Whoopsh. The Hockey Hall of Fame inductees have also been announced this week. Ken Hitchcock as a builder. Pierre Lacroix as a builder. And then three goalies went in. Tom Barrasso, Henrik Lundqvist, and Mike Vernon. Carolyn Ouellette goes in, and Pierre Turgeon goes in. I was a little surprised, I gotta say. Tom Barrasso and Mike Vernon, those were two names from peak like childhood hockey watching back when like ESPN Hockey Night was a really cool thing, right? Like the nostalgia years of ESPN Hockey Night. For me, Tom Barrasso and Mike Vernon, those were names that you always heard. I never saw them as like super dominant goalies. So I was a little surprised to see them go in.
It's hard for me to remember those guys. I mean, you know, sure, they were good, but I think there's a lot of good goalies out there. So yeah. Hard for me to kind of have an opinion because I had the perspective I do now.
Henrik Lundqvist is a yes for me, though. I agree with that. Okay. Final weekly one-timer. Hockey Canada, the CHL, and the IIHF announced that the World Junior Championship will be played in Ottawa, Ontario in 2025. So which is actually next year's. This is this coming year. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that how that works?
Yeah. No. Following
year after.
Yeah. We knew it was going to be in Canada. Okay. So it was just kind of making it official that it's going to be in Ottawa. So
Ottawa. Those are our weekly one-timers. We close the show with tweets of the week because we are in a big hurry now. John, your tweet of the week.
My tweet of the week comes from Greg Wyshynski. The first tweet is Elliot Friedman saying, just something to keep an eye on. Believe Boston and Chicago are discussing possibilities that could benefit the Blackhawks and ease the Bruins cap situation. We will see where it goes. Greg Wyshynski then subtweets, Pasternak's going to score 80 with Bedard. Mm. So it didn't happen.
Implying that Pasternak is going to Chicago.
Yeah, and it didn't happen.
No, because Taylor Hall went.
That's right.
Well, maybe Taylor Hall is going to score 80.
That's true.
Yeah. My tweet of the week comes from very good friend of the pod, Chris Peters. He retweeted a tweet from BR Open Ice, which actually was just a picture of Cole Caulfield and Trevor Zegras. And they were like partying with their shirts off and they're both wearing matching sunglasses with very reflective lenses. And if you look very closely, there's beer pong in the reflective lenses. And Chris Peters says the underrated part is the beer pong setup in the reflection of the sunglasses. The boys, it appears, are most definitely back in town, which made me chuckle. That was a good one. Okay, those are our tweets of the week. That's the show. We're going to do our stick taps to Andy. I do just want to mention we couldn't invite listeners to it, but we had a little gathering in his honor this weekend with his friends and family, and there were a few folks from the Kraken media there. And it was a really wonderful experience to just get together and share some laughs and some stories and some tears, which I think it was not meant to be a tearful occasion, but it certainly was a tearful occasion. And it was so special to me, John, because we really only knew Andy, the hockey side of Andy.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really know his family or his like personal friends. And to see all these different parts of his life and his background and to hear more about things that he wouldn't have shared with us just because it wouldn't have come up, you know, like his breakdancing phase and his being obsessed with ninjas phase and all these different things.
It was really special to get to experience that. We can imagine like what Andy was like in those phases. And was also really cool to hear, you know, even his non-hockey friends were talking about how much he like pushed hockey on them. Not aggressively, but like just about everybody who spoke was like, yeah, he tried to get me into hockey or we went to T-Birds games or that was pretty special, I thought too. And, you know, something like aspects of his life, I wasn't super familiar with. Like there's very little crossover I've had with his friends from the non-hockey world. But, you know, since his passing or since he originally went to the hospital, I've come to know some of those people a little bit closer and it's been nice. But yeah, it was still hard on Saturday. It was fun, but man, it was it's tough, man.
Yeah.
I still think about him all the time.
So. A friend of his that he used to play music with got up and played a song, Dollar Bill by the Screaming Trees. But before he did that, he gave a little background about their music together and their friendship and all that. And he started playing the beginning of, he goes, all right, I'm going to play a special song here. And he started to play Stairway to Heaven.
I know.
And I could feel it in the whole room, just like, oh, that's a little on the nose, isn't it? And he played like a couple bars of it. And he goes, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to play that song. And that was a great laugh. Yeah, man. That was so
all like Andy wouldn't want that.
He would not want that. So that was it was a good event and a good cathartic, I think.
Met his mom and that was special too because I'd never met her before, but she's like certainly heard of me lots from Andy, which was interesting and it's fun like running into his niece and nephew who he's shared stories, not so much on the podcast, but that I've heard. And I got to ask them about the stories that I've heard. And they were like, oh, wow, you remember that? And I'm like, yeah, Andy talked about you guys all the time. So anyway, it was special. So.
And, I don't even know what the word is. I think is it sibilance? Is that the word?
He would say that all the time.
Which is I guess it's a reference to a Tom Hanks SNL sketch from many years ago. So every single time we've ever done a, we ever did a mic check, I'd be like, hey, can you just talk a little, Andy? And he'd go, sibilance, sibilance. And then he'd say, microphone number one, isn't this fun? And so somebody, I think it was Andy's brother, stood up and they were like, anybody else want to say anything? And this guy, Dan, who you actually know as well, he was like, yeah, I want to say something. But he couldn't get people's attention. And he takes the microphone. He goes, sibilance, sibilance. You and I have to be like standing next to each other. And we're like, oh, sibilance.
Oh, no.
And neither of us get the reference. I still don't get the reference. But man, that was a funny moment. So anyway, we miss you, Andy. It was great to get together and share our love for you this this weekend, and wish we could have had the listeners there too, but it just wasn't our place to bring you there. So but yeah, that's it for episode 244. Please subscribe on Stitcher, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, subscribe on Spotify, leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for the reviewers this week. We will talk to you all very soon for episode 245.
And takeaways.
Maybe we'll do a takeaways. Maybe we'll even sneak in a 0.5 after the draft. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I'm not promising anything. Stick taps for Andy. Talk to you all very soon for episode 245. Cheers.